Well, that was a perfect song for today. Since our message is continually on peace from last Sunday, let there be peace on earth, and let it begin in who?
Me.
Yes, and that's the way it should be. And that's scripture too. So as we look this morning at our second part of the fruit of the Spirit, it is peace. We're going to begin by reading verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5, 22 and verse 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So as we look at this again this morning, you know, just listening to that song gave us a definition of peace and how it is to be applied. But looking at the fruit of the Spirit, I want to give another definition according to what the scripture says in Romans chapter 5. And I want to break that down just in our introduction this morning, because sometimes we think about peace and we want to apply it to our lives, and we hear, sing about it. But when the scripture kind of breaks it down in a way that we can better understand the process and how God's perspective on peace is a little bit different sometimes than ours, depending on circumstances and situations in our life. But this particular definition, according to, as I was studying for this message this week and looking at Romans chapter 5, verse 1, I want to kind of paraphrase this before I get into that verse, but peace is calm, quiet, an order in which it takes place in a justified soul. That means justified means that we are justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So justified means that through Christ Jesus we receive his peace. As in John 14, 27 says, Jesus said, I give you my peace. Because we know that Christ has total peace. He had peace when he went to the cross. He had peace throughout his life. And everything he did in obedience to God. So if we do everything in this life in accordance with God's word and his will, then we too, like Jesus, will know what that true peace is in our life. But when we stray from the word of God and kind of go our own way and do our own thing, that's not peace. And we don't truly have that fellowship as well. But it's in the soul. Instead of doubt, fears, alarms, dreadful apprehension, and we must feel till the assurance of pardon brings peace and satisfaction to the mind. So peace is the first sensible fruit of the pardon of sin. Now, as I refer back to Jesus going to the cross, dying for our sin, okay? That's why I said peace is the first sensible fruit of the pardon of sin. Now, let's go to this verse and look at Romans chapter 5. And you might want to look this verse up this afternoon and look at it, because I'm going to break it down in order for us to better understand what this verse means when it talks about peace. So first of all, let's look at the verse. Let's read it. Paul says, therefore. So he's leading up to this verse from the previous chapter, but now he begins chapter 5 with this one word, therefore. Then he goes on to say, being justified by faith. We are justified through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So by being justified by faith, we have peace. There you go. That peace comes from God. He gives us His peace. My peace I give you, okay? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to break this down this morning for you so we can better understand from Scripture. Now, we try to analyze, we're trying to think about peace in our own mind and experiencing that peace through our daily activities and things that we do in our relationships, and may that peace begin in me, according to the song. So therefore, being justified by faith. Now, looking from Paul's perspective, this is what he is telling us here in this verse. The Apostle Paul is positive that being positive that he has proved that justification by faith, that the Gentiles have equal title with the Jews by salvation by faith. That is what he is very positive about, and that's why he said being justified by faith, because the Gentiles wasn't looked upon as the Jews as being worthy of Jesus' salvation because they were outcast and so forth. So that includes us as well. But Paul was positive about this, that we are all equal in the sight of God, and therefore when we have Him in our life, we experience that peace. All right, now let's look a little bit further. And then he goes on to say in this particular, therefore being justified by faith, and now he proceeds to show the effects produced in the hearts of the believing Gentiles by this doctrine. He wanted them to understand that. So we are all justified. Ephesians chapter 1 says we're justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And further down in verse 13, it says we are sealed by His Holy Spirit. So have all of our sins pardoned by faith for being sinners. So we all are sinners. We fall short of God's glory. Now, and we have no works of righteousness that we can justify. We don't do the works, right? It's by faith. All right, now, I hope that's clear on that part. Then Paul goes on to say, we have peace with God. Now, before, or while we were yet sinners, we were in the state of enmity with God. That's the way we were. That's because of sin. Which was sufficiently proved by our rebellion against His authority and our transgressions of His law. And that's why Paul mentions that here in the Galatians chapter 5 with the fruit of the Spirit, which there is no law. Now, being reconciled, we have, what he says, peace with God. Isn't that wonderful? That, you know, that's the way we experience peace. So if we have peace with God, we should have peace, according to the song, with one another, right? We should. So, looking at ourselves vertically with God, we have peace. So therefore, on a horizontal level, we have what? Peace with one another. So it goes two ways, vertically and horizontally. So that's how this is. So before, while under the sense of guilt of sin, we're all under the guilt of sin, we had nothing but terror and dismay in our own consciousness. See, that's how things work. That's how Satan works, through our conscience. The Holy Spirit works through that, through our heart. And now, having our sins forgiven, we have peace with God and peace in our hearts, feeling that all of our guilt is taken away. Peace is generally the first fruit of our justification. Our justification comes from God because it said we are justified by Him. Now, let's look at the latter part of Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, His passion and his death being the sole cause of our reconciliation to God. That's what it is. That's what it is. His passion and his death, Christ going to the cross, dying for our sins, we receive him as our personal Savior, therefore we have his peace. We have his peace. Now, that leads us to the secret of true peace. We all desire that. We yearn for that, don't we, in our lives? Even when we don't feel good, we're down and out, things are kind of heavy upon our hearts or our shoulders, and it could be anything in our lives, not feeling good. It could be an illness. It can be many different sources in our life. But we can have that. The secret of that true peace comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. So, in saying that, I believe that true peace is both more complicated, and I say more complicated, but then I would say, and more simple, all in the same, okay? It can be complicated, but it can be simple. Now, it involves more than most people think, as well, at least than they think, or most people think, I believe. Perhaps that sounds confusing to you, and it can be to me. So I want to explain this a little bit further, as I did in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. So when something is confusing, the best way to deal with it is to break it down into separate parts and examine each part on its own. And so that's what I want to do right here. All right? So let's begin with the complicated part of peace. The complicated part is I want to see what it says. Peace and righteousness are often connected in Scripture. Just as Paul explained it here in Romans verse 5, and as we see it mentioned here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. So we don't often think of two things together, do we? Complicated and simple. How often do we make things complicated? We do sometimes. And sometimes when it's just simple as it can be. When I do a task, I learned this a long time ago. I learned it the hard way, but this is what I generally try to practice. No matter what I do, whether it's in preparing for messages or if it's something I'm doing at home or working on a car or something, if it's going to be a multiple task, guess which one I tackle first? The hardest. I always tackle the hardest. So if I do the hardest, I know it's going to be the hardest. If I can get through that, I just breeze through the other. Now, I learned that the hard way. I used to think the other way. Simple. Let's do the simple things first. Then when I get to the complicated thing, it just throws your mind in a whiz. And you thought, and then you just want to give up, right? But if you start with the hardest thing, and I think the Lord helped me and moved me in that direction, because he said, Mike, look at it in my perspective. Christ, it wasn't easy for Christ to go to the cross, right? That was a hard, complicated situation. But he sought the difficult and complicated way to provide salvation for us. He made it what? Easier for us. See, he did the complicated thing. We couldn't do it. He went to the cross. We couldn't go to the cross. He did it. That was complicated. That was a difficult task. And he sought and he completed and he fulfilled it for us to make it simple for us. All we had to do was say, Lord, I confess. I repent of my sins, and guess what? He wipes away our sin, past, present, and future. See, that's simple for us. That's the free gift of life, eternal life. So, again, peace and righteousness often go together in the Bible. They certainly do. Now, when you think about it and you look at various scriptures where this connection is made, it begins and it really makes sense. This word peace, I mean, it is something that this whole world desires. I'm going to move fairly quickly through the various scriptures so that with time and just to follow along with me on the screen with this. So let's begin with Isaiah chapter 60, verse 17. Now I'm using scriptures this morning because that's the best way for us to understand from God's perspective how we can experience peace in our life. So Isaiah chapter 60, verse 17 says, I will make peace your governor and righteousness in your ruler. For there to be peace, righteousness needs to be in what? Charge. Righteousness has to be in charge. That's why I say peace and righteousness, they go together. So this passage isn't nearly as clear, however, as the one I want to examine next. Okay. Now, I said, I will make peace your governor and righteousness your ruler. So look with me now in Psalms chapter 85. I'm going to begin with verse 8, and I'm going to break these down as well so we can get God's perspective on this. Peace is talked about in the Old and the New. Remember, I said there's peace is mentioned 329 times in the Bible and 90 times in the New Testament and 24 just in the Gospels. All right, here we go. It says, I will hear what God the Lord is saying, for he will speak what? Peace to his people, to his godly ones, to let them not turn back to folly. Now, verse 9. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear, that glory may dwell in our land. Now, I want us to notice verse 10 here. The things which are put together here in this particular one. And I mention this word quite often in my messages, and I mention it because God is love and he has shows us kindness. Okay? Verse 10 says, loving kindness and truth have met together. Now that's scripture speaking right there. Remember I said that peace and righteousness goes together? Right here is telling us loving kindness and truth have met together. That means they've come together. They've come to provide peace in our life. So, having met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. You got that? You feel the sense of what Isaiah is saying here? I mean, David, here in Psalms 85? They've kissed each other. That means they have a bond, a togetherness. It's a fellowship. It's an ultimate fellowship that will last and last and last. So now, before I explain that I believe that the significance of this one, let me share one additional passage that I think that deals with this connection from the negative perspective, because I believe it actually makes the significance clear as Isaiah and then the Psalms here. And now let's look at Isaiah 48:22. Which says, there is no peace for the wicked. There isn't, saith the Lord. And as we look at that, and as Bible is explaining this to us, very clear to me, and I know it is to you, Without Christ, there is no peace. So, he or she is constantly getting into trouble. People are constantly getting into trouble. That's why the Bible calls it the wicked. There is no peace for the wicked. They always have to deal with the messes that their ungodly behavior creates in our prisons and so forth. Our world is full of this, and we can see it. So Christ says, you know, you want peace? You can have peace from me. Okay, the reason there is connection between righteousness and peace is that when you are doing what you should be doing, you don't experience the negative consequences that naturally goes with sin. And that's going back to Romans chapter 5, verse 1, where it was talking about that. They always have to deal with the messes that the ungodly do. Now, that makes sense to me, doesn't you? Of what the scriptures are saying so far. In reality, it's not terribly complicated, but yet, a connection many people never seem to make. It helps us to, that scripture makes the connection for us. As I was reading and studying this, and as I was searching the scriptures and going back and forth, it was starting to make more sense to me. I was thinking this morning, okay, if I address peace, then you know, I can address it on our perspective and how we experience it and so forth. But when I went to the scriptures, it made more sense how the scriptures' perspective on peace made it alive and made it real to me. And that's why I want to share it this way this morning, so we all know and can experience God's peace that he. Now, let's go in another direction for a few minutes as time remaining. And I said that peace is also more simple than often that we think that it is. And I want to share a basic principle that relates to that. All right? And that is this. We will never experience outer peace until we have what? Inner peace. Isn't that right? Agree with me on that? And I believe that's true. There will never be peace in the world until there is peace in the heart. I firmly believe that. True peace starts on the inside, but the foundational to that goes to the outside. Now, if a person, or if you, if I don't have peace inside, we'll never experience peace on the outside as well. Kind of going back with the song, you know, peace, and it may it begin with me. So peace on the inside comes from peace with God, from the knowing that he is in control. When we have that peace, that kind of peace, we are much more likely to be able to relate peacefully with those around us. As that song was saying this, perfect song this morning. Thank you, choir, for singing that. Now, I want to close with this morning. And I was trying to think, how am I going to close this out this morning and so that we can find an application and apply it to our lives? And as I was thinking, a Friday, I guess, and then this early this morning, I was thinking about last August. That's when my mother passed away. And I finalized everything. My sister and I were getting her back to Tennessee. And I was my sister drove me to Orlando Airport. And on the way, I mean, it was stormy. It was bad. And I told Linda, I said, I don't know if I'm going to get on a plane because this looks like tornado weather. And she said, yeah, it doesn't look good. So when I got to the airport, I realized they had delayed our flight 2 hours. Well, no, 1 hour. And then as I sat there and I looked at the monitor up there, and then it said another hour. So that made it 2 hours. So I text Brenda and said, hey, we're being delayed 2 hours now. And so as I sat there and waited and looked at the clouds, they looked terrible. And I mean, it's just like they were swirling. You know how it is. If you've been in Florida like Bob and them, you've seen that weather there, how black and it can look. So after the 2 hours is up, they said, okay, you can board now. So I lined up and went in. I took my seat, and as I settled into my seat, I noticed a strange phenomenon. It was just really strange. And on one side of the airplane, a sunset filled the sky with glorious colors. That was on my right side. But when I was looking through the window where I sit on the left side, it was black and it looked horrendously bad and terrible. And I thought, and here we are going to be taken off in this. And as the plane engines roared and began to go down the runway, a voice within me said, you have noticed the windows. Your life too will contain some happiness, beautiful times, but look through this situation. This plane is still going to Indiana? Yeah, we were. I mean, that was our destination. So is your life. This voice saying, this plane's going to Indiana. So is your life. You can focus on the bad things and you can focus on the bright things. And I was thinking about, okay, the bright things was on my right. The dark things was on my left. And that voice was saying, you know, you're still going to Indiana. And we had to go up 37,000 feet. Now I got to figure that out mathematically. That was 7 miles up above the earth, right? But the Lord, I'm in charge. Either way, your final destination isn't determined by what you see or what you feel along the way. Well, guess what? I'm here today, right? And I landed safely and everything. We got through all of that. But you see what I'm talking about? From God's perspective, you know, no matter what how we look at things, how we feel and so forth, God is in control. He was in control of everything, all the way. So, when we can understand that the Lord is in control of our lives, then we can experience a peace that is not simply positive without Him. However, when we understand that fact, it brings peace into our hearts that affects everything that we do. And to put it in a nutshell this morning, true peace will never be possible unless we realize that God is in control. When we realize that, accept that, then we'll have that peace. Would you agree with that this morning?
Amen.
Amen. I do. There are so many scriptures that I wanted to share with you this morning, and I will share more scriptures related to the fruit of the Spirit as I preach continually through this fruit of the Spirit. But peace, I tell you what, it's a wonderful thing to have. It's a wonderful thing to experience. And when you realize that God's in control of your life and all the circumstances in the world, then why fret? Why fret? Let us pray. Our Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your blessings. And we thank you, Lord, that we can experience your peace. We can't have inner peace till we know you personally. And when we experience it on the inside, we can experience it and it will be seen from the outside. And people normally know by just looking at us with our countenance on our face if we really have true peace. And sometimes we need to pray, maybe just look in the mirror and say, oh, okay, face. Are you at peace with God, or is there something that's causing you to not have peace? Because if we have it inside, it's going to show on the outside. Lord, we thank you for this day, for your blessings. And Lord, may what we have experienced today in this service, may we share it with someone else. Maybe brighten up their day. Maybe they're not experiencing peace. But we can share our peace that we have with you, and therefore they can have peace. Lord, this is your invitation to come to give of ourselves. It's your invitation. We must respond. May we respond in a Christ-like way. We thank you, Lord, for your peace that you have given us. We thank you that there are 9 fruit of the Spirit. And each day as we work on each one of those in our lives, and when we get to the 9th one, which is self-control, we say, wow, it's complicated, but it can be simple as well when we trust you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.